It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Greg Pickle still on the line with us. I'm Dustin Hockensmith, talking Penn State football on the Lash Bash weekend. We do have a special announcement before we get back into that discussion. Our guy Mark at GoPSURV.com has a special going half price for the opener, the season opener against Appalachian State. Also having an open house that Friday night, that Saturday morning. It's a chance to check out what he has to offer. RV rentals. You can tour the available RVs that he's got. There's also going to be free samples of 409 Tailgate Club Barbecue, Tailgate Wine, Labatt Blue Beer, too. Games and prizes. There's a raffle for a free RV for a future game. It sounds like a really good chance to go check it out. No commitment, of course. You can just see what he has to offer and check it out there. Half price for Appalachian State. I know he's getting a little bit more attention already as we keep mentioning this, but it's a good deal to check it out. GoPSURV.com. Again, free shuttle to and from Beaver Stadium, which is awesome. So GoPSURV.com. All weekend long there is worth checking out. Gregory, going back to Lash Bash, and I know that, you know, the one commitment from Emory Simmons, the wide receiver from North Carolina, was important. But there were also some other little dominoes that seemed to fall, one of which was getting Adisa Isaac, the four-star defensive end from Brooklyn, who reminds me a little bit of Jason Oway and his trajectory and the fact that his recruitment is now going national. But how important was it to get him on campus again when it seemed, at least according to reports, you know, 247's been on this from the beginning, but it seems like it wasn't all the way expected.
Yeah, it did come off as a little bit of a surprise, and he doesn't say much about his recruitment. He's one of those kids that prefers to just sort of keep it quiet and not really talk much about where things stand and leaders and visitors and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, he'll probably do this more often throughout his recruitment, pop up sort of sight unseen, unannounced. But when he does so, you know, it's going to obviously tell the tale of his recruitment. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out from here. I would say Penn State, since in a pretty good spot. When I first met him back at the opening regionals in the spring, I came away fairly impressed by how much interest he had in Penn State. I didn't see that coming. I wasn't sure he was going to have that much interest, but it sure seemed like he did. And then this recent string of visits he's on here, including this one, does nothing to slow that momentum down. So for me, I think with him, Penn State has to be considered a team in the catbird seat. The question now is, can they close the deal? I mean, I think that, you know, they're obviously in need of defensive linemen. This is a very good one, number 9 defensive end in the country and a top 150 or nearly a top 150 player nationally. He's 6'5", 220. He's from Brooklyn, New York. You just can't lose kids like this in the Mid-Atlantic region to anywhere other than, Penn State. So I think it'll be a big pull for the Lions if they can pull it off. And right now it seems like they're in position to do so.
They're in the leader position, it would seem, and this is a good – this is a good indication Penn State really protecting its recruiting territory when you got Texas A&M, Alabama, Auburn, LSU, Florida, other schools all snooping around, Michigan, Miami, Michigan State offered in May. So it'll be interesting, and I think for the 6'5", 220-pound kid, this is another, you know, talk about the wide receiver position being deep, Greg. The defensive end position is also deep with young talent. And it's another position I think that they're going to remain committed to stockpiling talent. You mentioned Jason Oway from the 18 class. To get a guy like Isaac in the 19 class ensures that you keep that pipeline going strong. I don't think they want any potential of any dip in production from those defensive end spots.
No, when you finally look to seem to have some very good defensive tackles finally coming through, and P.J. Mustipher and a couple of these other guys, Enos Hawkins, Judge Culpepper. I mean, it looks to me like Penn State's set to have its best defensive tackle group in years, and you don't want your end production to fall off just when that's finally coming into the forefront. So I do think it would be important to get a guy like this or some other names on the board at this position as well, but Isaac's really the guy I think that is the top target, no question, maybe the top target on defense right now. I just think that he plays at such a vitally important position and one that Penn State's going to lose some older guys to over the next couple of years. So the more the merrier. And if you can get a guy this good that might be able to play as a true freshman, that's even better. He's a 4-star with 5-star potential. And I think Penn State, again, is going to probably lands him in the end, but he has some more visits to take before he decides.
We mentioned when we started the show your list of maybe 7 or 8 potential commits and how Emory Simmons was not one of them. Anthony Wigan, the offensive tackle from Lackawanna College, probably was one of them. Where do you think this is going? He seems to be going back to the drawing board, maybe trying to regroup and make a decision soon.
Yeah, that's sort of where we're at this point. I mean, he's one of those guys, and there were some other ones in this class. Salim Wormley comes to mind, too, that, you know, you almost felt like, okay, why is this taking so long? Why is no decision being made? Why is, you know, Penn State seemingly driving and seeing that as a leader, but no decisions being made? So I think that we're probably getting close to a decision on him. I think that, you know, it's usually better if he's on the fence about deciding and he's going to either decide on campus or go home and think about it and then commit. It's almost always better that they do that because it's not an emotional decision then. It's not a rush decision. It's not one made just to make a coach happy. Sometimes those aren't the strongest commitments. You need the ones that, you know, a guy goes home and sits down with his family, talks about, you know, it's everything with his coaches and anybody else that's a key part of his decision-making process. And those commitments tend to stick a little bit more. So I do think that most thought he would be in the class by now, but at the end of the day, I don't think we're far off from that being the case.
Is Penn State due, Greg, for another piece of good news? As of right now, Michael Johnson Jr., the 4-star quarterback from Oregon, set to announce on August 1st, a Wednesday? And Penn State really surging for him. Is he going to be number 2 commit of the week?
Well, I think so. I mean, I think that, you know, when you look at the next commit, he's probably the most likely one. And I honestly thought Penn State would get a couple more coming out of the weekend. So we'll see if that still is the case come Wednesday. But if not, there's every indication that says he is the next quarterback to commit in this cycle. I just think that obviously he's been very good about his recruiting process, and they get a lot of visits and has, you know, seen a lot of schools and really has a well-researched process here. So I do think that Penn State is definitely in the driver's seat, you know, again, for this recruitment. He is a 6'2", 192-pound quarterback, number 6 passer in the country. And he'd be a tremendous addition to Taquan Roberson and really give Penn State something to work with in the future. I think that this guy is one that Penn State maybe found a diamond in the rough. It might be hard to say that about a 4-star that's a top 5, top 6 player this position nationally, but there were a lot of other schools who were recruiting him hard. Penn State swept in, and it looks like they stole the show. And when you're able to do that again, you're just going to continue to up your competition, not only on your team, but in your recruiting class. And that's a really good thing moving forward when you're trying to, you know, again, build on an established tradition of winning and aim to make New Year's 6 bowls and college football playoff appearances and Big Ten titles and all that. These are the kind of things you need to do. And Penn State's been very good about doing them in the last couple of classes. They can put another check in that box if they're able to land Johnson Jr. on Wednesday.
Greg Pickle on the phone with us talking about Lash Bash weekend for Penn State and coming out of that, looking a little bit further ahead at 2020, Brian Bressy, the number one player in that class. Penn State, you know, it's super early and he's got, I think, an official top 15 out, but it really looks like Penn State, Ohio State, and some people really think that Penn State is in good position here. What are your thoughts on, you know, maybe looking ahead? Penn State, no commitment so far in 2020, but they're doing quality work behind the scenes, and the idea of getting a 5-star big-time defensive lineman has to sit well with a lot of people right now.
Yeah, it would be about the biggest way you could possibly find to jump on the board in the class of 2020, right? I mean, I think he's going to take a lot more visits. I don't think that, you know, this is one of those things where, you know, even though it might seem like he's close to a decision, I don't necessarily think we're at that point yet. But he's a guy that is easily the best player in the country. I think the most important thing as it relates to his recent thoughts about Penn State guys is that he has not been a recruit who does this whole sort of, I'm impressed and I'm overly amazed and wow, wow, wow at every school we visit. He's sort of very, I think the right word is straightforward when it comes to how he feels about schools and how he's going through the process, and that, you know, some schools are really great, other schools are just okay, and there's not a whole lot of hyperbole here. What does that all mean? It means that for Penn State, they've really been able to, you know, take a lead here because all the things he says about the Lions are glowing. And it's not that he said negative things about other schools, but his words just come out a little bit differently when he's talking about the Lions. So I think most thought he was an Ohio State guy. That still could be the case. But after this recent Penn State trip, you have to assume Penn State's a leader at this point.
Let me shift gears with you for a moment. I know you touched on some of this stuff last week, but I just wanted to go back to, you know, James Franklin being available publicly for, what, the first time in easily a month, right, out in Chicago for Big Ten Media Days. I'm just wondering what your biggest takeaways were from out there.
Yeah, I think there were a couple of things that really jumped out. Obviously, the there's still no commenting on what's going to happen with Manny Bowen is, I think, probably the biggest thing that those fans are still following, just simply because I think we all assumed that, you know, after the social media stuff came out, that there would be an answer one way or the other in Chicago, and there was not. He was strongly against the early signing period, and especially the early visits that come along with those. I think Penn State benefited from them probably more than any other school in this cycle. So the fact that he was that much against them sort of tells me that he really feels strongly about the fact that, you know, coaches don't get enough time with their families and their current players as is, and now they have even less time because they have guys coming in this for early spring and early summer. So we'll see. I mean, there's no way the rule's going to be unchanged or changed back to the way it was, so they're going to have to learn to adapt to that. But his comments were pretty straightforward and blunt on that. And then really the other thing he clearly didn't care for is the Friday night trip to Illinois. And I think that, you know, Sandy Barber spoke the next day and was asked about it, and it shows the perfect it was the perfect example of how a head coach and an AD can see one thing to say, you know, the same thing two different ways. From James's perspective, he doesn't want to play a Friday night game anywhere, home or away. And for Barber, she obviously understands that this was a part of the new Big Ten TV deal that was put into play that gave the schools a whole heck of a lot of money. And sometimes you're going to have to do some things you don't necessarily want to do because of that to get that money and to keep that money coming. And this is one example of that. Penn State will never play a Friday night game at home, but it certainly will be in some of these situations every 4 or 5 years where it's going on the road to play a Friday night game.
For the record, I do agree with James Franklin on this one. Friday night is high school football night. Let's keep it at that. But, of course, if there's money dangling out there, it's easier said than done. One other thing, I know he mentioned the young defensive tackles as maybe being pushed into duty, and not just P.J. Mustafa seemed to hint that Judge Culpepper, I don't know, Aeneas Hawkins maybe, but he also seemed to intimate that Jesse Luceda might be in line for an opportunity. It's something that we've gone back and forth about that here. Did you take that away, that he might be in better position than we thought?
Yeah, I did. I guess I'm not surprised by it either. I mean, he's a guy that's really come in and worked super hard, and he's very talented, and he was definitely underrated as a recruit coming out of high school. So you put it all together, and yeah, I certainly think he's a guy, Dustin, that should be able to contribute pretty much. Maybe not right away this year, but special teams certainly seems in play, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him earn some linebacker reps as well.
It's Greg Pickle joining us on his way back from Chicago, talking Lash Bash, talking Penn State recruiting. Thank you, Greg.
All right, Dustin. Thank you, buddy.
We'll see you soon. Tyler Donahue from Lions 247 is going to jump on with us, talk a little bit more Penn State recruiting right after this.
It's time to own summer with Labatt Blue. To have a can't-do-this-anywhere-but-Pennsylvania summer, hit the waters with paddles, backflips, cannonballs, and cap things off with a bonfire and Labatt Blue. Soak it in with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue light-loving Pennsylvania cans, celebrating Pennsylvania's summer spots. While supplies last, beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.